Sally, when did you first hear about the tenor fee ban?
I think I was one of the two first people in the country to hear about it. It was the day before, it was November 2016, and I received a call from the BBC, WM, and they said, Sally Lawson, this is BBC WM, we have an embargo conversation to have with you. The Philip Hammond is going to be announcing that tenant fees will be banned tomorrow. Can you come in at 6 o'clock in the morning to be interviewed? I said, yes, of course, put the phone down. The first thing I said was, hit.
Is that a technical Wolverhampton term?
Oh my God, panic! And I was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? The ironic thing about it is that I think it was only the week before the housing minister was saying, we will never ban tenant fees. The Conservative government has no interest in banning tenant fees.
Because it was political, wasn't it?
It was political, and even the housing minister didn't know about it. We was not expecting it to come from the Treasury, so... it was an oh shit moment. Please excuse the language, but it was. It was
it's
quite
a technical
tough.
Wolverhampton term. We can let that one go through.
Thank you.
Okay, so what happened then?
For me, it was the first thing I had to do is I've got a tenant fee ban problem because just in my Wolverhampton branch alone, we stood to lose £9,000 a month. So personally, it was like, oh, we need to do something. But then I also recognised that across the country, there was going to be a lot of people in a lot of trouble. We had been talking about it politically at Arla and in our little networks that we suspected it was going to happen at some point, but it always seemed to be like in the long distance future, maybe when Labour got in or when it was a political change. We was not expecting it at this point, so it just literally just came out of the blue. And my thought was, first of all, we've got to find out what can we do about it. And so the first thing I started doing, and literally the week after that announcement, I was speaking at events around the country. I said, what are we going to do? And I started talking to people. My first port of call was Scotland. What did they do? When they lost their tenant fees in 2012, what did they do? So I started to explore.
What
that.
Did they do?
Well, first of all, they had not as big a problem as what we had, because in Scotland they'd always had this piece of legislation that said you weren't allowed to charge fees. So it was lesser of a fee issue in Scotland because they didn't charge as much as us. Unfortunately, in England, what we've done over the years is we've ramped up the tenant fees when landlords didn't want to pay more, or we believe landlords didn't want to pay more. So I believe we've got a huge problem here. Across the country, I found that letting agents were looking about 25 to 30% of their turnover was tenant fees.
That's a big number.
The biggest one I found was 30% from a company in Surrey, 30%. So we had a huge, massive problem, and we need solutions fast. And as the saying goes, I think it's Bruce Willis in Die Hard, and he says, you know what, someone says to him, well, why did you do all this? And he said, you know, sometimes just that guy. And I think in November 2016, that guy was me. I had a tenant fee ban problem. I was just about to become Arla president. I had access to the country, letting agents UK wide. I could ask the question, talk to people, find out what they did, and start putting all of this together. And I just knew I had to do something. And so we just started talking about it.
And what do you think agents have done so far about this lack of this income that's going to be going?
It's quite split, actually, Chris. There's quite a few people that have still, to this day, ironically, got their head in the bucket and just saying it's not going to happen, which I can't believe.
I would actually say probably most letting agents have put their head in the sand, and they're still charging fees, and we'll sort that out.
Yeah, we'll sort that out when it happens. Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have 2.5 years between it being announced and it probably going to legislation.
Well, the housing minister at the Arla conference in April this year, 2018, announced that it is their intention for it to be in place for April 2019. So that's the benchmark I'm working towards, that April 2019, tenant fees will be banned. A lot of agents, as I say, have got their head in the bucket. Some are starting to make small moves. A lot of them are still sitting there in fear. There's a lot of people thinking of selling, getting out. They're already challenged anyway because they're not charging enough. They're doing too much. The layers of legislation are causing complications. It all seems far too much, a lot of people getting out, which is a shame because there are answers. And it's just about looking at your business and finding the way.
Now, I know on your website you have a booklet. I think it's with 67 strategies. Don't give them all away, but have you got some top tips?
Yeah. If you want to beat the tenant fee ban, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to review what you're actually doing for your money. So number one, find out what you actually do for your fees. And the challenge here is that it's quite fascinating when we do this in our rooms, actually, because we say, what do you actually do for your money? And they go, well, we're letting manage. Okay, break that down. And when you actually break down what you do for your 10% management fee, it is phenomenal. And when you start looking at the things that you do for free, inspections, checkouts, inventories, rent arrears, all these sort of things, it becomes a huge task. So I would say the first thing to do is identify exactly what you do for your money and then work out whether it's covering your costs to do that. And you'll find that your staff are probably doing also on top of that lots of things that they shouldn't be doing. And I don't mean illegal or anything like that, but what I mean is they're doing favours. So first of all, identify what you should be doing. The second thing is identify what you're doing for free that you shouldn't be doing. Now, when we've done this across the country and we've got people to assess their property management,
because you have these boot camps for agents, don't you?
That, we do. And what we get them all to do is to assess for their tenancy management department, what do you actually do? And it's a bit like a time and study sheet every day. They check out what they're actually doing every day. We find across the board, on average, 50% of a tenancy manager's day-to-day tasks are not what you are contracted to do.
Really?
Yeah, so if you're contracted to do rent arrears and maintenance and whatever, half their day is spent doing favours, doing snagging lists or sorting out trees at the bottom of the garden or neighbour disputes, stuff which isn't really in the tenancy remit. Excuse me. So if you've got your staff spending half their time doing something you're not even paid to do and not even contracted to do, that's something that's got to go, isn't it? So you've got to sort that out. So identify what you're doing absolutely for free that you shouldn't be doing. Identify what you are doing right now and seeing whether it's equitable to do so. And next thing is restructure your services. And really restructure your services in a way so that it enables your listers on the front line to be able to explain what you do.
Is that a posh way for putting the fees up?
No. It's not. It's a different way of structuring the fees. So, for example, at the moment we go, do you want to only do management? The problem we have with that is the way you do tenancy management will be different to the way I do tenancy management and will be different to the way the call centre agent do tenancy management. But as far as the landlord's concerned, it's tenancy management. Now, you as a landlord might just want me to collect the rent and forward it on because you're going to do all the maintenance, whereas Richard over here might say, well, I want the full service. I'm going to Australia. I don't want to do anything. And then there's everything in between. So what you need to do is restructure your services so that the VIP landlord that wants everything completely hands-off pays for it. Whereas the landlord that just wants the rent collected and do a little bit here and there pays for that. And so therefore you start to charge where you're doing more and you charge less where you're doing less. So you restructure your services accordingly.
So instead of just having two services, you might have three, four, five.
Yeah.
Bronze,
yeah.
Silver, gold, platinum.
And there's always those people out there that like to be VIP, isn't there, Chris?
Always.
You know, they stop at the Savoy Hotel, not the Travelodge. They want to be treated with, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Give them the choice. Because then if you've got a landlord on the bottom layer of service saying, I want you to do this and I want you, because I'm sorry, it's not part of your service. However, you want to upgrade to VIP at 15%, I can put you on that. And they're like, okay. You know, some will say no, sod off. And you say, fine, do it yourself then.
But then agents are quite fearful that the landlord will say no.
Mindset again, Chris, absolutely. They are fearful the landlord will say no, but in our experiences, they don't.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.